This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Oliver Condy, the editor of BBC Music Magazine, and welcome to the BBC Music Podcast. You can buy a copy of the magazine at your local newsagents or download our app to your iPad, Kindle Fire, or Android tablet. And for the latest music news and more, head to our website at classical-music.com. In this week's podcast, Reviews editor Rebecca Franks joins me in the studio to talk about the December issue's recording of the month, a disc of Shostakovich symphonies numbers 6 and 14, performed by the London Philharmonic Orchestra under Vladimir Jurovsky, and that's on the LPO's own in-house label. It's a terrific time to be a Shostakovich fan, isn't it? There's some amazing recordings out, quartets, piano music, symphonies, and of course now this recording. It really is a sort of a cornucopia of wonderful Shostakovich recordings.
Yes, it's a wonderful time for really superb recordings of Shostakovich. Vasily Petrenko and the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra have just come to the end of their really very, very impressive recording cycle on Naxos of all the symphonies. Lovely guide to it, a little plug here, in the November issue of BBC Music Magazine. The Pacific Quartet with their Shostakovich discs, Alexander Melnikov recording the preludes and fugues. Lots of really stunning interpretations.
Yes, and actually, this one's sort of slightly out of the blue, I think. Not a series of recordings that the London Philharmonic Orchestra are putting together, but two very separate live recordings of number 6 and number 14 packaged together, making quite a sort of a bleak listen, but a compelling one.
It's completely overwhelming, I think. I mean, it is, as our reviewer says, it's a grueling listen, really. It's not, you know, it's not an easy listen in many ways, but these two symphonies, you get a sense of what Shostakovich's views on life and death, I guess, are, especially in the 14th symphony, where, you know, he's really then tackling the question of death just head on there. And actually they work, as you say, there were two live recordings done a few years apart, but they work very well together. I don't think it's an obvious pairing, but they do work well together, I think.
Well, let's start with number 6. And before we talk about that, let's hear an extract from the second movement, Allegro.
Thank you.
So that was an extract from the second movement of Shostakovich's Symphony No. 6, as performed on our recording of the month by the London Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Vladimir Yurovsky. Number 6 is always, I think, the symphony that is slightly lost, sort of in between the very popular number 5 and the rather devastating number 7, the Leningrad. But number 6 really has genuine qualities of its own. It sort of starts with this very long, meandering, slow movement, almost as if the central movement is the one that it kicks off with.
Yes, I mean, the largo, which opens it, is this. It's sort of, on this recording, 17 minutes, and then these two fast movements, 5 and 7 minutes each, that follow it. And I think people think that's a bit of a strange structure for a traditional symphony, but then we are in the 20th century when he's writing these symphonies, so it means a different thing. But that, I mean, that largo is just an incredible movement. And I mean, we were talking earlier, you don't really think of Shostakovich as a symphonist or a composer who necessarily portrays landscape and a sense of place in his music. I kind of think of him more as sort of internal emotions in a way. But here, you really, I feel in this largo, you get the sense of this stillness and out of time, sort of vast expanses you can imagine in Siberia and just the vastness of Russia. Mm. I think that comes across here.
Desolation, and also premiered in 1939, you know, a real sense of, on, you know, the coming dangers of the Second World War, as, you know, Hitler was pushing into Eastern Europe, and also the Russians at that time were pushing into Eastern Europe as well on the other side. You know, a real sense of a clash of cultures about to boil up.
Yes, and actually at the time he'd just transcribed the Adagio, I think it was, from the Mahler's 10th, his unfinished symphony, which was just written on the cusp of the First World War. And I think lots of writers and performers have made the point that it's kind of a Mahlerian feel to a lot of Shostakovich, and kind of the way he uses these very small groups of instruments sometimes, not the whole big orchestra, but small groups for colour. And the funeral march kind of ideas you get in the largo as well, that sort of comes straight out of Mahler. Mm.
We should hear an extract from the first movement, largo, because that really is the symphony. The other movements are really sort of codas, really almost encores, I suppose. This is really the heart of what Shostakovich, I think, was trying to say. So let's hear an extract from the Symphony No. 6. So that was an extract from the largo of Symphony No. 6. Also on this recording is the Symphony No. 14. That was the first Shostakovich symphony that Vladimir Yurovsky conducted with the London Philharmonic. So, you know, it means a great deal to this orchestra and to this conductor.
Well, I think he thinks it's one of Shostakovich's greatest pieces, as does Vasily Petrenko, who says in our guide. And Shostakovich himself said, this is kind of the culmination of my life's work. Everything's been leading up to this.
I mean, it's not the soundtrack to a Saturday morning. Then,
it's not. It's not at all.
So tell us about the themes.
Well, there's really only one theme, I guess. The main theme is death. So Shostakovich wanted to take on this subject because I think he felt that death was often seen as the gateway to an afterlife. And actually, he wanted to say, no, actually, death is it. And there is nothing afterwards. But he also, it wasn't just because he, you know, that's very bleak, but he wanted it to say it so that people would appreciate life and would live life to the full. So it is an exceptionally bleak work, these 11 settings of poems all taking on different kinds of deaths, basically.
And terrific singing. We got singing in this. I mean, this is the great thing about this symphony and the settings of the poems. The poems are actually sung by soprano Tatiana Monogorova and baritone Sergei Leifakus. I mean, absolutely wonderfully sung and so emotional. I mean, such sort of unrelenting sort of depression, really, that they managed to imbue with so much beauty as well.
Yeah, and I mean, they're native Russian singers, and these were texts from all different languages, but translated into Russian. And so there's that, you know, this is stuff that they can just, it's utterly natural for them. And it's in this sound world with the strings and percussion and just these two voices. It's very intense. It's quite, you know, condensed sort of feeling. Mm. Really packs punch.
Let's hear the an extract from actually the opening of Symphony Number 14, the De Profundis. So that was an extract from the opening movement, the De Profundis, the Out of the Depths, from Symphony Number 14 by Shostakovich. Shostakovich was actually inspired to write this symphony after he orchestrated Mussorgsky's Songs and Dances of Death, which itself is a very much a sort of contemplation on the whole idea of death as well. So it is clearly something uppermost in his mind.
Well, and he just 3 years before, he'd had a heart attack, and he actually finished this when he was in hospital. He had polio, and I don't think he'd really recovered still from his heart attack. So he wrote it very quickly. I think he wanted to make sure that this was written and that he could hear it being performed while he was still alive. You know, he's like Mahler was when he was writing his Ninth Symphony. This was a composer very much who had experience of being on the edges of life and death. And I mean, I guess in bigger terms, death was something in the Soviet regime that was always there, was always lurking, perhaps never talked about openly, sort of publicly, but was always there.
I mean, presumably when this symphony was being premiered in 1969, you know, people were disappearing all the time. You know, people would go missing. Families were just fearing for their lives, really. So that was an extract from the Lorelei movement of the Symphony Number 14. Tell us a little bit about the contributors to the poetry, I mean, the settings that Shostakovich uses.
Yes, so well, we start off with two poems by Lorca, but then the majority of the texts we have here are by Guillaume Apollinaire. We've also then got a text by Rilke and one by Kuchelbecker. But yes, as I say, the Apollinaire is kind of the meat, I guess, of the settings we have here. And each one is kind of tackling, I guess, sort of unnatural death. So we have a voice speaking, a suicidal voice, someone speaking from an unmarked grave. We have this poem after the Lorelei, telling the kind of legend of the Lorelei in the Rhine. And it's one that I found very striking, the In Prison, where they're describing the prisoner in a bear pit pacing back and forth. And actually there was a documentary, a BBC documentary about a prison in Russia, and I mean that image was,
the prisoners very much do pace
back and forth in these tiny cells. It's very striking, I thought.
It's again, I think, in prison you get an idea of the isolation, the desolation of the Russian sort of landscape, really.
Yes,
the idea that this prison would have been nowadays, you know, at least 7 hours drive from the nearest city.
Well, I think they said that it was in a forest that was larger than Germany. Mm. I mean, you just can't
really
begin to fathom
the distances involved.
No. So yes, these poems all have a different take on what happens when someone dies, basically.
Shall we hear an extract from In Prison? So that was the In Prison Movement from Shostakovich's Symphony No. 14, sung by Sergei Lifakus and performed by the London Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Vladimir Yurovsky, and that's on the London Philharmonic Orchestra's own label, and is our December issue's recording of the month. So join us next month when we'll be discussing the Christmas issue's recording of the month. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this BBC Music Magazine podcast, which was produced in our Bristol studio by Jack Fletcher. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at classical-music.com or simply head to iTunes.